Okay, it is 7 o'clock on Thursday, August 22nd, 2019, and this is a meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. Calling the roll, Commissioner Dowling. Commissioner Pritz is absent. Commissioner Graham White. Chairman Franek. Commissioner Reno Ogden is absent. Commissioner Forehand. Commissioner Prestis. We do have a quorum.
Great. Is there any public testimony on general matters as opposed to specific sites?
Good work you guys are doing.
Thank you. Hearing none, and I see David coming up the walk. Are there any comments as to the minutes of the July 25th meeting? And I have one.
Please.
And that is, at the in the last paragraph.
Okay. They're new speakers. The mics are actually the same, but they're new speakers. And I know it's a little bit, maybe a little bit louder than they used to be.
It is. Okay, in the last paragraph of section 5, speaking about Unity Temple being named a UNESCO World Heritage Site, it, along with the Roby House on the University of Chicago campus, it is not other Frank Lloyd Wright structures in the Chicagoland area. It's just Unity Temple and Roby were named to the, they were among 8 sites, which collectively got the designation as a 24th UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Say it again where that was, Roby?
Roby and Unity Temple. So it would read, Chairman Frank noted that Unity Temple in Oak Park, along with the Roby House on the University of Chicago campus, was added to the list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites.
Thank you.
There are other right structures which were not.
Understood. Thanks.
Yeah. Are there any other changes, additions, or deletions to the meeting minutes for the 25th? If not, is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? They are approved. Consideration
just,
of...
Sorry, not to interrupt. I apologize, Dave.
Yep.
Just, if you could, though, just make sure we're using the mics. And I apologize for them being a little, maybe a little hotter than the last ones. But this is actually the first meeting we're having in this room since we got a little some new AV equipment in it. And I just want to give that a check, so thank you.
I assume that turning them on is a prerequisite to using them.
Yes.
I just mentioned that as a public service benefit to the fellow commissioners.
Thank you. Next, the consideration of the Certificate of Appropriateness application for 344 Keystone. Folks.
Yes, if you'd like to, yeah, usually how it starts is you guys just say a little bit about your project, introduce it. They do have in front of them the plans that John provided along with some of the pictures, so it'd be great to just hear a little bit about what you guys plan to do out there.
Can I do it from here? Would you like me to
talk to you? I'd like you to speak into the mic, but I'll tell you what. Take.
I'm on board with that.
It's wireless anyway. It's probably a little more comfortable for you to sit. You're welcome to do so.
Oh, yeah? With this?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, great. So before John walks you through the project, I just wanted to briefly introduce myself, since I'm the owner of the property in question. I'm Jessica Iverson, and along with my husband, Dr. Milton Davenport, we are the owners of 344 Keystone. As a blended family, we have 3 children, the oldest of which just started at OPRF as a freshman on Monday. We have absolutely loved being in River Forest. We're coming from Chicago's West Loop neighborhood, and we've just loved our couple months here so far. We love our neighborhood, and we really love this house. John will walk you through the details of the project, but from my perspective, you know, in the design, I really want to respect the heritage of the house. We're doing a lot to, in terms of the renovation, to bring back a lot of period and historical details, kind of getting rid of a lot of 1980s and 1990s finishes and restoring it to something that would have been, you know, more typical at the time the house was built. That really matters to us. We are really looking forward to being in this house for many, many years. And I'd love to introduce John Bergstrom of Cher Bergstrom Architects to walk you through everything.
Thank you. I'm going to stand so I can. Hello. My name is John. Did I turn it off? Or?
I don't think so.
Hi, my name is John Bergstrom, Cher Bergstrom Architects. Been in business for 31 years. I was a past resident of River Forest for 28 years. Just recently moved out to St. Charles. I still do a lot of work in the area, and a lot of the homes are historic, and we do very good work trying to maintain the historic significance of these homes. This house is being renovated by the current owners. There's a major interior renovation. There's a few rooms that were completed by the previous owner that are historically correct. There's a lot that is not, and that is what we are taking a task at on the inside. We actually broke the project down into three phases. What you're seeing is a compilation of all three. Right now, phase one is under construction, where we have two bathrooms going up in the attic, and a master suite and a new bathroom coming on the second floor. Phase two is going to be tackling the basement, which is quite a undertaking. I've been doing this for 31 years, and I've never seen land and stone basement floors. There's 42 by 24 inch slabs in the basement. So you can understand it's damp. You can go down there and it'll be damp when it's dry. So the concept, what we're trying to do there is to, in phase two, is to remediate the water, we're gonna collect it. We know we can't stop it. We're gonna collect it and put it underground, and we're gonna create a new concrete floor and a concrete curb system and create a drainage system and get it out of the basement. Problem with the basement is it can't be used for living spaces. Most people, when I do additions, we do basements, and that space becomes usable as part of living space. With this project, we couldn't. But however, the project has the basement on the exterior in an accessory structure. So it is only, you can only get to it by walking outside. And what we try to do is create a historically accurate to the home addition, connecting the main house to the accessory structure so that it could be used all year long. And then phase three is going to be second floor bathroom and laundry, and the first floor renovation, which is going to be basically taking the back of the house, opening it up, and making it part of a modern lifestyle in the 21st century with an open kitchen to an open breakfast room that opens to the addition with stairs going down into the accessory structure and also into the basement. On the exterior, we're very sympathetic of these exterior materials, and we're following this to the T with the detailing of the cornice, the brackets, the window detailing, and then what happens is there's a separation of almost 6 feet between the buildings, and we have a mansard structure next to an Italianate structure. And what we decided to do, and it would be the best prudent way to do, is the addition that connects the main solarium addition to the accessory structure is more subservient and follows in the mansard roof design. So what stands out is the solarium, and the connection link is subservient. That's basically it. Oh, we are doing a porch. There's an existing porch there. We're actually gonna, wish we could just Lego and slide it over, but we got to take it apart, rebuild it, and we're going to use all the components to it. It allows for the back end of the house to be open too, with the double window over the kitchen sink. And one of the neat features of this house right now, you walk in and there's a servant door that takes you to the back family room through another door to the kitchen and a pantry. What we're doing is we're taking, right when you come in, we're going to create a new entryway that's 6 feet wide and directly out over the kitchen sink. So when you walk in the home, you're going to be able to see the visual connection to the exterior immediately. We think that's going to be a very striking piece to it. Any questions?
I have one question, and that is, at the time we reviewed and approved the prior owners for restoration award, they had stressed their ability to, as best as possible, blend some of the existing brickwork into the new brickwork that they had done. How do you plan on addressing that?
Well, we're going to be, that's up to the masons and what's available at the time, but we will be getting a blonde brick. I think it was called Milwaukee Cream, mm-hmm. is what they used. And that, it's very difficult to match, but if you have a structure that's separate by a joint, meaning at a corner, or like on the one detail, I don't have it coming and hitting the corner on the outside. I have it stepping in, because we know that materials are not alike. So we're going to try to get as close as we can to it, but we're not going to be staining it. The concept behind it, too, is we have a lot of fenestration, a lot of window area, so the brickwork is limited. You know, it's going to be at the main corners. And visually, the only place you really see it is in the driveway, because the screen, the porch shields the addition, and you see it only in the back. It's really, you're doing a beautiful thing that only a few people are going to see. It's not something in the front of the home that everybody passing by. It's kind of tucked away in the back in a special little feature for the owners and their guests.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
How about the windows? Do they match the other windows?
Yes.
In the house?
Okay. Yes. We just went, there's all single windows. The owner wanted, once we started the concept that we needed an addition, he wanted the idea that he wanted a lot of light. So we turned it.
She.
Sorry. A lot
Thank
of light.
You.
So what we're doing is we're doubling and tripling the windows, and we're actually putting in a solarium skylight, a 6-foot by 4-foot skylight. So it's going to be very light and bright. But the windows will match. Sizes match. All the sill details, the block details, everything is going to match.
The stone arches,
everything, yeah. And they did have the templates. Someone was smart enough to save the templates, and we found them in the garage. So we didn't have to go up all the way.
I think you and the owners have done a wonderful job. A very simple connection detail, but you kind of celebrate it and made it a nice part of the house, and so it's great.
Thank you.
Well done.
Further questions and comments? Carla?
No.
I was just going to say,
Brian.
If David says it's well done, it's probably pretty well done.
So noted.
Yes.
Because sometimes even when I think it's well done, he says it's not well done.
They get deferral. Yeah.
David too.
I was just going to say, I think all the proportions look great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. You've continued a very noticeable effort to preserve this house. It's an extraordinary home, and we're very pleased that the new owners are carrying forward with the traditions of their predecessors in terms of maintaining a singular property.
Yes.
You know, it really is.
It's
quite
like in 77, it could have been torn down. That would have been terrible.
Don't like to mention such things. Are there any questions or comments? If not, do I hear any motions?
And just to clarify, too, the part we're at here is a certificate of appropriateness for the addition, which includes the access to the accessory structure. So if what I'm hearing is a motion to approve the certificate of appropriateness for that part of the home, somebody wants to... So moved.
I so move.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. So just to give you guys an idea, too, that fulfills the historic preservation part of the requirement, okay. And you guys can proceed with the building department as you would normally. So
okay.
For plan review.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, guys.
That's great job.
Nice work.
Okay. We had a carryover item. with respect to a home we considered for a preservation award last time. And the question really was, as voiced by several of the commissioners, whether there was sufficient amount of work done on the exterior to really fall within the thrust of what we have as preservation awards. Yeah, I mean, they've certainly done an extraordinary job on the interior, but there appeared to be several additions, patio in the area in the back, for instance, and some work in the front. But the question was really how much work had actually been done of a preservation nature with respect to the exterior. And we'd ask John to look into that. John, I think you've got some information.
Yes, yeah, so per the request of the commission at the last meeting, I posed the question to the applicant of what work was done specifically to maintain the exterior of the home. Did you replace or repair anything on specific details of the outside of the home? That question was answered. The windows on the front of the house and the west side were rebuilt slash constructed by a cabinet shop in Oak Park. It was a conscious decision to not to replace, but to rebuild to maintain the integrity of the front of the house.
And the question then would be, is this sufficient for us to view this for a preservation award? Does it reach a magnitude of work?
And the awards are at your discretion.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
We have
Absolutely.
A copy of that lying around of that little package.
For the application?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me pull it up.
I remember looking at it and kind of thinking the same thing. Seen that one picture where they put brick next to siding and
the rear of the home. Architects think alike.
As do some of us who've been hanging around architects.
Yeah.
So would either of you gentlemen like to sort of voice your thoughts?
Yeah, let's get up on the screen here. John, is that what you're working on?
There you go.
So the infill, the porch on the second floor, put the brick face, the bay window, and the doors on the back.
So this is the before.
Right.
And you can kind of see this cut here. Came back out.
I think we all felt that the interior was a nice, you know, what they had done interior wise was a, you know, nice work. But the question was if that was
not really our purview,
what we
is
were.
It? Yeah.
Our job is the exterior, not the interior.
Yeah.
What is the address?
This is 1140 Keystone.
1140.
It's very close to Division.
But south of Division?
A block south of Division, yeah.
On the west side?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an exceptional job on the interior.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not so sure that they helped the rear elevation.
Huh. The first floor mural is stunning. Mm-hmm. Really. It brings it back to a totally different era.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's exceptional.
Yeah.
So I'll get a look at those. Okay, those two again. Go back to the existing John again. One back.
So that's the previously existing?
It was brick, and they covered that with siding?
Good.
In the center.
So this is before?
This is the before, correct.
And then they pulled that. Show the after?
They infilled the corner.
Yeah, but also you'll see that they
pulled. Okay, there were two columns back, not just one column.
Correct.
Exposed, I got you. Yeah, I'm not, if that's all they did in the exterior, I don't think that's worthy of anything positive. Interior, right, is fantastic.
And they had, just to repeat what John had said, they had done some work on the front and on the west side with respect to rebuilding the windows rather than replacing.
Yeah, I mean, this is the elevation that otherwise for other requirements would be under the commission's purview. What
did they do here?
So the windows, they had them rebuilt. That's the kind of the question that it pitched.
That's certainly worth something. Did you take the time to rebuild the windows and get it all to match the 8-1, the bay, the ovals? Did they clean the brick as well? What else did they?
Not that he said. Yeah, I asked kind of what was done on the exterior of the home that he could note, and he pointed to that they rebuilt the windows at a cabinet shop in Oak Park.
Seems to me we could applaud them for that, mm-hmm. but say that perhaps the overall scope wasn't large enough to merit an award.
And perhaps put something very nice in about the interior.
Yeah.
But that's not our purview, so.
Yeah, I think that's something that we probably should emphasize, and I think certainly everyone on the commission has commented on it, has really been very impressed with the interior work. But the scope of what was done on the exterior, particularly the front of the house, is perhaps a bit less than we normally would view as creating a tipping point for an award. And as to the exterior, there's clearly some strong feelings as to merit by some of the commissioners.
It's a tremendous amount of work if they actually, I don't know what the shape, was there a before picture of the front or no? That's just what we have is the.
Yeah, I didn't see one.
It's no small task to take old windows and refinish and make them work again and put them back in a house. That's certainly to be applauded.
Big time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have an award small enough to deal with that, I guess is the. Yeah, the brick and the siding, that's almost anti-historical.
Maybe we can save the award for the 344 Keystone when they finish.
I mean, it does bring up the issue, do you want to give awards just to show that we're out here, you know?
Yeah.
It was 2 or 3 years ago we skipped.
Yeah,
so it wouldn't be.
I think historically what we've done is in those years we either because of the numbers of submissions or what was submitted, we have not felt the need to give out awards just to give out awards.
Okay.
That in fact it's really a level of achievement as opposed to the proverbial showing up.
Just a question I have is, you know, I don't feel strongly about the imperative to give out an award every year or not, but were we to decide that that's something we'd at least really like to do, I've got to believe that there's some, sorry, listening to myself on the speaker is driving me crazy. I've got to believe that there's some restoration that was done over the course, completed over the course of the last year, that rises to the level. I'm a runner, and I feel like I run by one house or another constantly that's been sort of rehabbed and improved on the exterior. And if I just had a notepad on my run, I could probably come in here with a handful of decent candidates. Maybe the answer to it from everybody is go take a notepad on your next run, which I'll take under advisement. But my point is just I got to believe that any one of us could find a few within a few blocks of our own homes that where something pretty nice was done. Because I've got half a dozen houses in my mind, and I can't pinpoint the exact addresses where I know they went to town, and I see the house now, and it looks great, and they didn't do something horrible. Quite the opposite. So I guess the question is, ought we to make some minimal commitment to go look, or do we not feel so strongly, or do we have other concerns about the appropriateness of kind of going on the hunt?
No, I have no problem going on the hunt. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Let the people know, hey, you've done a good job here. Let's come in for an award.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, that's a win-win.
And I think there's probably an aspect to it that, some people might just be too humble to self-nominate them. So invitations, I think, are always effective in getting nominations, invitations to nominate their home, things like that.
Is there a way, I'm sure there is, but to get a list of properties that have had extensive work done within at least the past year? I'm not going to ask you to bring it up.
The two things that come to my head are the permit reports that you guys get every month, mm-hmm. which are those in the historic district and the significant properties. And then the other thing that comes to mind, a couple of things. We do post permits online, so you could see those. Yeah.
Could you just I don't know if it's too late for this year, but when it comes around for next year, just send these you sent out and
for sure
and just go through and highlight the ones that seem to have renovations.
Let me think about that. I'll look and see what other reports I might be able to run based on like a project type, because I'm assuming you guys don't want to sift through bathrooms and things like that, so I'll try to find something else
exterior.
So let me look into the software. I'm not sure, but I'll figure something out, I'm sure.
Plus, we've also tended to look not just in the immediate 12 months preceding, but some period slightly beyond that as well.
Is it 5 years?
Yeah, I think it's formally five, something like that, 3 to 5.
So. Don, what's the 755 William four-car garage?
That's the...
is that the brick
one? That's the brick one.
On the corner.
They tore that down.
A four-car garage?
Yeah.
I looked at that. Is that where are they going to put a four-car garage?
I saw that. Driving by.
I did too.
Yeah.
It's quite the garage for that size of that home.
I don't think the commission ever saw the new plans.
Well, we'd ask for them. Or we'd
Yeah.
That's
the one they'd want to show them.
That's a small lot, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to have an elevator.
It'll have some of the bricks.
Two of it, too.
Yeah.
It was a gable roof, I remember, versus the hip roof, which the house has.
Or that was the addition, actually. Yeah, the addition with the brick.
Well, do we want to make a formal determination then as to...
Yeah, I mean, I think if you can reach a consensus, that's fair. Yeah. And if the consensus is what I'm hearing, I can draft something and run it by Dave to send to the applicant, appreciating the positive work on the windows and the interior, but regretting that they won't be issued an award, unless I'm hearing something different from any of the commissioners.
Five paragraphs, but one little one.
Okay. Moving on, additional ways to protect significant properties. Owen, do you want to talk about your...
Right, I drafted a little note so we could reach out to the Oak Park Area Association of Realtors. By the way, it's not really called the Board of Realtors. That's the old name for it. So I didn't mention that in the minutes, but it is the Oak Park Area Association of Realtors. It covers Oak Park River, Forest, and Forest Park. Although they do have a brokers that you can join any board you want. You don't have to be physically there. So you could be a broker in Glen Ellen and join the Oak Park Area Association of Realtors because you just choose to be in a board there rather than in your hometown. So there is some, they've opened up the territory, so to speak. But Dave asked me to find if we can either reach out to the Area Association of Realtors through either a special meeting or we get invited to a board of directors meeting and maybe bring some paperwork with us or maybe a slideshow or something like that and get the importance of having local realtors who affect, of course, buyers and sellers, that they're aware of the ordinance. In fact, I think what I said there, to share with the villages HBC role in partnership with the local real estate community of our existing ordinance and of our commission to help facilitate the scope and purpose of this ordinance. Homeowners, along with their agents and attorneys, will benefit by being aware of the status of their property as current owners, and if they plan to remodel, change the exterior character of their historic significant property, or to be aware in advance if they plan to market their property for sale. An informed buyer would also benefit by this information. So I think perhaps maybe back when the ordinance first came in and the commission was involved, we just want to reach out and refresh with the local Association of Realtors.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'd like to noodle a little bit on this, but I think it's I think there's a lot of good stuff here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we finally getting to the realtors is what people don't want to do for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was excellent.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea. The only question in my mind is there interest? And I just don't know the answer.
Some realtors I know specialize in historic properties, and of course, or they focus in Wolf Park River Forest. And we have such a variety of housing here. You have different kinds of homes that really don't apply to historic or significant, but they're still in your village. I think realtors somewhat specialize in different kinds of property. But otherwise, if they get a listing, they take the listing and then they just try to be knowledgeable. But I think it's good that they know. So they don't hear at the closing or from their attorney. I didn't know about this ordinance, or I didn't know I had a significant property I was buying or selling. Or then they stumble over the building department, and then they realize they have to come back. So I just think making them aware and having the information out there.
Or they can benefit from a tax freeze.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's some positives out of that.
Yeah, yep. I didn't go there.
Mm-hmm. I get that part of this package as well.
Yeah, and to be clear, I'm not questioning whether we think there's a good argument for why they ought to care. My question is a little more, and I don't know that anyone here knows the answer, but my question is a little more, do we have some sense of whether there is in fact interest from the realtors, whether or not there should be, and stipulating that they ought to care greatly. I guess I'm just uncertain whether we would show up to an empty room or a packed house.
If we get one realtor, that's one realtor.
Well, we get the president or the, I think start with the board of directors.
Yeah.
And they could disseminate to their brokers. Who then disseminate to their salespeople. So it kind of, but now again, years ago we had a topical meetings at the Oak Park Library or at the River Forest Library where there was just information where they wanted everyone there for the presentation of whatever it was. And they do tend to have monthly meetings and they need agendas, so this could be on their agenda.
That's true. Doesn't the new guy bring food for those things?
I think one of the things this does too is that we have seen the anomaly of some folks say, oh, I had no idea, which may strain credibility in some instances. And this will kind of get it out there and make a proactive statement on our part that, okay, this is what it is, this is what it does, and we'd like to explain it to you. So that someone really has to go the extra mile to claim that they were uninformed. I think that's kind of the intent, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think engaging the realtors is a terrific idea. They're a huge natural stakeholder here. And, you know, whether we postulate that they're generally friendly to our commission's goals or not is almost immaterial, because either way, they're a stakeholder that we ought to engage, in my view. I do also think that there's good reason to believe there are plenty of well-meaning folks, even excellent real estate agents, who are not particularly aware of what we do or the ins and outs of some of it. I mean, as someone who bought a historic home in the last 10 years and certainly was aware that it was a historic home, I didn't know that the commission existed. I couldn't have told you a single rule of the commission. I mean, I was aware of the house in the background, and that seemed so cool to me, but I had no idea that there was any, that there was even was a commission, never mind what it does.
I think probably within the last 5 years or so, that may have changed, starting with the whole Mars Mansion and all of those types of events.
Well, and the charismatic people who are now on the commission probably has a lot to do with it.
I had one more idea, too, and just setting this aside either before or after. The Wednesday Journal that we, I'm sure, put a reporter on this, they could do a nice story and have maybe just an article, maybe not for the realtors, but just for the general public, use something like the Wednesday Journal, besides village newsletters, if we still, I know we have those as another way to remind citizens locally. Because I think, I'm pretty sure Oak Park has a historic preservation ordinance, even if it's not called.
Oh, yes.
It's so that, you know, that maybe they could, you know, the reporter could just cover the towns.
Yeah, Oak Park's is much more detailed and much more restrictive slash protective than ours. Okay. Any other business?
I would like to mention that the Women's Club is still on the market. It has been a short sale for the past couple of months. The listing price is now down to 600, mid 600, 645.
645,000?
Yeah.
That's mean, yours. Yeah, I mean, that's man. Yeah, it was originally listed like 1.3 or something.
Marion Digre and Remax has it listed, but if it was in the short sale, I'm surprised they had another price adjustment.
Yeah, that's a twice one. Yeah. So, I personally am concerned that an iconic home in this village is in real trouble. I mean, that's been on the market for over a year now.
And what's online at realtor.com, and, you know, the photos, the exterior and interior, beautiful. Really looks like a lot of property for the money now.
It
yeah,
is.
That's yes. For the right person, that's pretty damn cool house. Oh, man.
I received a phone call from an interested purchaser. Who already lives in the village, who had some specific questions as to whether there were preservation ordinances that impacted the River Forest Women's Club. And my response was to direct him to Landmarks Illinois, which I believe holds at least one protective ordinance. And just scanning and doing a little online searching, although one never knows the accuracy of some of the news reports, but it appears from the news reports over the last 15 to 20 years that there may in fact be several preservation ordinances that impact that site. So, and I've invited him to follow up with me and us, ask any specific questions.
Oh, and one thing, because you've always mentioned about solar panels. They have solar panels on that, on the house. Yeah.
The River Forest Women's Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they must not be visible from Ashland, at least, or
I?
Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt you. I just...
Yeah,
you stand back,
yeah,
you can see the
sawtooth.
Yeah, maybe they're on the...
Carla, house next to me is a Drummond house that's up for sale as well.
That's been on the market for...
I saw people going in this morning as I went to work, so...
Yeah.
That wouldn't want to lose that one either. That's
no.
I know
that's two Drummonds.
Issue too at the River Forest Women's Club. I don't think they have a...
They don't have...
just a shed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a parking garage on property, just a driveway.
It's actually how our garage conversation started when we first started talking about that, so...
Yeah. The other Drummond house. So there are two Drummond houses on the market.
Okay. Anything else?
All of us has left the building.
Next meeting is September 26th. Everybody wants to mark their calendars.
September 26th, you said?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's our next fourth Thursday. Crazy. Where it'll be well into breaking fall by September 26th.
There you go. Well into the Bears season. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John.